NPR News.
Support for Planet Money comes from PwC. PwC, the right people to get the extraordinary done. Learn more at pwc.com/extraordinary.
This is NPR News.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. economy cooled in the final months of 2014. Gross domestic product expanded at a 2.2% annual rate in the fourth quarter. For 2014 as a whole, GDP expanded 2.4%, slightly better than the average 2.2% growth of 2010 to 2013. The price index for personal consumption expenditures, the Fed's preferred measure for inflation, fell at a 0.4 annual rate in the fourth quarter, compared to the 1.2% increase during the third quarter and below the Fed's 2% inflation target. This morning, USDA received from private exporters news of export sales of 140,000 metric tons of soybeans, corn, for delivery to Saudi Arabia during the 14-15 marketing year. Also flying out the door this morning is 120,000 metric tons of sorghum, and that also during the 14-15 marketing year. Brazilian truckers continued protests yesterday, further delaying deliveries of soybeans to ports, crushers, and the pork and poultry industries. As of mid-afternoon yesterday, blockades were detaining trucks at 97 points along highways in seven states. The protest extended into its ninth day in spite of an agreement reached late Wednesday between the federal government and trucker representatives to end the strike. On Thursday, the government announced it would impose fines of between $1,740 and $3,480 per hour on truckers who have blocked roads. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 18,175, down 28 points. The NASDAQ, 44.61, down 0.5 point. The S&P 500 is 21.09, and it is down 1 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Two storm systems are expected to move across the Midwest over this next five-day period, and we'll see enough significant precipitation across the region to cause considerable amount of travel problems, as well as some flooding and some damage to winter wheat in low-lying areas will be possible. The two storm systems that are expected to impact the region are going to make themselves present across the region beginning this weekend and continuing into the middle part of next week, and they'll each be followed by some cooler weather, with the coldest conditions likely at midweek next week. At that point in time, we'll likely see temperatures bitterly cold across portions of the Midwest once again. In the meantime, we'll see some recovery in temperatures after today. Today's very cold. In fact, the low temperatures this morning across hard red winter wheat country were cold enough for some damage to occur possibly in portions of Nebraska. It looks like most of northern Kansas also got down close to the damage threshold. Both areas are snow-free. We don't know how much damage may or may not have occurred at this point. We'll have to wait until the crop tries to green up to see how much loss there may be. And even at that point, we won't be able to discern how much of that damage occurred from today's event versus other events that have occurred since last November that have at least threatened some damage across the state of Nebraska and even a few spots in Kansas. We do expect some loss, but it's questionable as to how significant that may be, and whether it's from this event or any of the others that have occurred prior to this point in time. And of course, portions of the Midwest have had some soft wheat damage probably occur as well since last November, and there was also a reduction in area planted because it got so cold so early on. In the meanwhile, we do expect two storm systems to start to debut across these areas. The first system will be in the plains tonight and tomorrow, and it will come into the Midwest Saturday and Sunday. This first wave of precipitation will produce generalized rain and snow across a large part of the Midwest. We expect most of the snow to occur from portions of Nebraska and Kansas eastward into portions of Michigan and Ohio. There will be a little band of freezing rain, sleet, and snow that will curve just to the south of the heavier snows, and we'll expect to see rain on the south side of the Ohio River. Moisture totals with this first event will probably run anywhere from about a tenth of an inch upwards to 5 or 6 tenths of an inch, and there will be several inches of snow that will accumulate across Iowa and portions of northern Missouri into portions of Michigan and Ohio. The second storm system will begin its impact on the Midwest as we move into Monday night and Tuesday. Tuesday into early Wednesday morning will be the stormiest period of time, and this is when the heaviest rains are likely to occur in the Ohio River Basin. We may end up with enough rainfall to cause some flooding because there's going to be also some significant snowmelt that will take place as the rain falls across the region. Rain totals could run anywhere from 3/4 of an inch upwards to 2.5 inches, and there is potential for more than 3 inches in a few locations. The immediate Ohio River Basin will be vulnerable to the flood potential because that's where the heaviest rains will likely occur. The snow that falls with the second storm system will concentrate on Iowa, Wisconsin, and parts of Michigan, with a band of freezing rain, sleet, and snow occurring between that heavier snow area and the heavier rainfall that I mentioned previously. Temperatures across the Midwest are going to try to recover a little bit here over the next day or two, but we are going to turn bitterly cold again at midweek next week. The high temperatures over the next couple of days will likely run mostly teens and 20s across the area, but we will warm up briefly as we move into Sunday with highs in the 20s across the north and 30s and 40s in the south. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Tickets are going fast for the 2015 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, and Todd and I hope to visit with you. We've got a stacked lineup. It's a WASDE day, so you will get wall-to-wall coverage on corn, soybeans, cash grain, and whatever else you want to talk about. Chris Hurt will talk livestock for 2015. Murray Wise has the latest on land value trends, and Sue Martin will deliver a keynote. Cost for the March 10th meeting is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and beef house lunch. Get your tickets by calling 217-333-7300 or online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Hard red winter, March wheat trading 529.5 up 2.25, soft March 509.25 up 6, March corn 378.25 down 1.75. July, 395 down 1.5. December, 412 down 1.75. March beans, 1024.5 up 0.5. November, 996 down 1.5. March soybean meal, 351.50 down 310. March soybean oil, 3271 up 87. February live cattle, 161.95, and it's up 82.5. March feeders, 202.07.5 up 177.5. April lean hogs are 67.35. They're up 20. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Looking forward to that all-day outlook coming up. It's always, I always learn something there, and it's always good timing, it seems like.
Well, and we hope those that don't have their tickets yet will call today. 217-333-7300 is the phone number. Well, it looks like the Brazilian truckers gave us a big fat gift, but the question I have for November Beans is, can we get over $10 on a settlement basis and make a little bit more out of this?
Well, I think that's a great question. I don't know if I have the answer to that, but it does look like when I look at the nearby or, you know, the daily chart, continuation chart, if we can close this March beans here, we kind of did hit a count there. There's a lot of people had counts at like 1037 on the March.
Mm-hmm.
We got 35 and a half last night overnight. But if we can close above 10, I don't know, it almost looks like we've moved up into that range we were back in December, you know, between like 10 and 1050. Now, keep in mind, this is the end of the month and things can change as you move into a new month. Sometimes things can look completely different come in here next week. But that's kind of the way it looks to me this morning.
And the corn market, would-be bulls were hoping for a head and shoulders bottom in that market, getting a little bit long in the tooth, but I don't know that it's completely out of the realm of possibility yet.
No, I think the corn market to me, Dave, is just really, you know, just a flat market trading range. And I think fundamentally what we're seeing is every time we get any kind of little rally up in the 390-plus area, we see some cash selling. We still have a lot of cash corn out here to sell, and I think that's just kind of keeping a top on it. So far, we've been able to maintain this 375 on the lower end of things on the nearby. I guess I just kind of could see it continuing to be narrow, fairly narrow trading range sideways.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. March corn, 377 and three quarters, down 2 1/4. December, 411 and a half, down 2 1/4. March beans, 1024, unchanged. November, 995, down 2 1/2. March soybean meal, 350.70, down 390. March soybean oil, 3276, now 80, up 96. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.